Welcome to Berean Bible Church Podcast. I'm Ryan, the online campus director, and happy you're tuning in. Our goal is to make more and better Jesus followers. The way we do that is in three ways. First, we have Sunday morning gatherings in four different locations here in upstate New York. We also meet in small groups across the region for different days and times where small groups of us can get together and share in wonderful food and great fellowship. Lastly, we have something called the growth process, where we can take you through what it means to be a Jesus follower and help you grow in your faith. So whether that's the basics of what communion is, or what is baptism and what does it symbolize, or how to share your faith, or even what your spiritual gifts are, we have a place to do that. I encourage you to reach out to us to help you with your next step, whether it's finding a location to attend, baptism, finding a mentor, or whatever that next step is for you. Go ahead and go to bbctransform.org, click on new button, and fill out our connect card. We'll get back to you. I hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. Do you guys have a good Christmas? Hopefully most of you did. I hope you had an awesome holiday season and that you're rested and ready to start a whole new year. 2025 is here, and we're ready to run through awesome video. Run into and focus on worshiping in the presence of God. My name is Ron. I'm the Green Campus pastor, and I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Excited to start this new series and kick off a whole new year. So let's get rolling. I just want to make you think back a couple weeks. Who wrapped some Christmas gifts? Anybody wrapped some Christmas gifts? I did as well. Who had some Christmas gifts maybe that were a little more difficult to wrap? Anybody have some odd-shaped gifts? I could think of different options, maybe a hockey stick, a bicycle, but there's all kinds of things that could be difficult to wrap. One gift to my wife, I had this rocking horse that I wanted to give to my wife, and it was going to be hard to wrap. And you know what? I had a box, but wrapping it in the box wasn't working. It didn't fit in my box. And it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And I came up with all kinds of different, well, how do I get the horse in the box? How do I wrap this to give it to my wife? I could get a smaller horse and just get rid of this one. I could get a bigger box, but I didn't have any bigger boxes. And I was running out of, I tend to wrap Christmas Eve. I'm one of those guys. I didn't have time, so I was running out of time. And I could take the horse, I could bust it up into pieces, I could stuff it in the box. That would work. How do you wrap an odd shape gift? I bet I'm not the only one that's ever struggled with, what am I going to do with this gift? How do I get this gift wrapped? What if you have something that just doesn't fit in the box? So today we're going to begin a new series, Entering the Holy Place. It's an in-depth look at worship. And worship is incredibly important, but worship is hard to fit in our neat and tidy boxes. It just doesn't work that way. Worship wars have been raging since the beginning of time, right? Over differences in boxes, really. Differences in opinions. And those wars have been raging all the way from the beginning of time. So we're gonna go there. We're going to go back to the beginning of time, and we're going to take a deep dive together in worship. And we might just see why worship sometimes is so polarizing, and we may get to grow closer to God in the process. So would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4? It's going to be on page 5 in your chair Bible. And we're going to be going through this passage together today. Genesis chapter 4. If you need an easy-to-read Bible, those Bibles right in your row, right in the chairs in front of you, are yours. You can take them. You can give them to a friend if they need that. And 2025 is a great time to just take Take time to read through the Bible. Take that Bible home, read it, study it, get to know God's word throughout this new year. Genesis. Genesis is both the start of our Bible and the start of human history. So we get a picture into the very beginning of history. And so you find God creating everything from scratch. Genesis 1 and on gives us a picture of some of that. You find the universe and the galaxies being created. On planet Earth, God starts by dividing the land and the water and the atmosphere. He creates all the sea creatures and the animals, the land animals. He finally creates humanity, the pinnacle, the top of his creation. The world's very first man and woman were famously named, what are their names? Adam and Eve, you got it. They're the very first man and woman. And God gave them a beautiful garden, didn't he? A perfect place, a place where they could be together and enjoy God's creation and also walk with God. He told them to have kids, to fill the earth, to rule over it. And then he gave them one single rule, just one, very, very small in the way of boundaries. He said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the one rule. But human nature has this bent toward rebellion. All the way from the very beginning, even the two most perfect people created without sin quickly turned and did what they wanted versus what God said from the very, very beginning. And so they took and they ate and they chose their own way. And as a result, God kicked them out of the garden, banished them from the garden. They were never to return to it. And he took skins of animals to clothe them, and they were given to Adam and Eve. The very first death, the very first sacrifice. And then comes chapter 4. So take a look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam and Eve, actually I added that. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve. And she became pregnant. It's kind of a natural connection. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. And she's looking back at the curse and saying, I want to conquer the curse. God's given me a man. It goes on and says, later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. And so this first couple verses here in this chapter, the first couple have their first children. Now they decided to obey. God told them to have children and to fill the earth, right? And their first act was to take and eat of the fruit he told them not to, but now they obey. And they have kids, and the result is the very first siblings. Let's go on to the next couple of verses. The second half of the verse 2 and then 3. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. So two people, two siblings with two different professions. Verse 3, when it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flocks. They know, Cain and Abel know, Creator God deserves worship. So they both bring him some gifts. And Cain brings from what he does, his profession, and Abel brings from his profession. And this is really our first example of worship in all of history, as well as in the Bible. Humans giving God gifts of appreciation and honor. And that simply, worship 101, that's worship. They were bringing God gifts of appreciation and honor. They were giving back to what God deserves. Simple, right? Worship, giving God back what he deserves. giving back to God. And each one of us has abilities and skills so that we can give back to our Creator. Personal worship is simple. That's what it is. God deserves our worship. And it sounds like that's what they're doing. So good so far, right? Take a look at the next verse, the next sentence. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Wow. What's wrong with Cain? What's the problem? Didn't they basically both do the same thing? They were both bringing from what they had. They were both bringing from their abilities. They were both bringing from their profession. What's the problem here? Why did God accept one and not the other? Anybody ever wondered that? Well, if you have, we're gonna dig into it today. I want you to glance back at a couple contrasts in verse 3 and 4. So just kind of look at some of the contrasts that come out here. Cain's gift was described like this. Some of his crops. He brought some of his crops. While Abel's gift was described like this. The best portions of the firstborn lambs. You see a little bit of a difference there? Abel picked some of his firstborn lambs, and then when he sacrificed them, he gave the very best parts of those lambs to God. So the firstborn, and then the very best parts of the firstborn. Do you see that difference? It's more than just the offering. It's their attitudes. Cain brought some of, just randomly some of, maybe the left of, whatever he wasn't using already. And Abel brought the best of. Abel's worship is very intentional. He may be following the example that God gave with that very first sacrifice, the offering of an animal to cover his parents, to bring them the clothing that they needed. He's definitely giving his very best to God. Abel isn't guaranteed new lambs each spring. That's not a guarantee. He's not guaranteed a better animal for breeding next time the lambs give birth. He's just simply right now worshiping God with his best and trusting God for the future. Well, God, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what I've got next to work with, but I am going to trust you right now and I will give you my best. That's exactly what Abel's doing. He's worshiping God and he's putting God first. And God accepts his worship. He accepts him as the giver. Abel gives to God. But Cain apparently has a very different attitude. He gave some of his crops, but they weren't the best. They weren't the first. Cain was satisfied to just give God, in a way, his leftovers, what he didn't need, what he hadn't already used. Cain offered worship in his box. I think in a way that fit him, in a way that was comfortable, that fit within his boundaries. Here's what I can do. Here's what I think I can do. But God didn't accept that. And if you look at Cain's reaction that comes next, I think you see his attitude show up very clearly. So check out the next sentence. This made Cain very angry. And he looked dejected. So Cain gave, right? He did give. He was worshiping. And in return, I think he expected God's approval. And when God didn't give him props, God didn't say, Cain, wow, look what you did. Thank you so much. God didn't honor his gift. He got very angry. Very angry. And the attitude is the root issue. I think the attitude goes into what he brought in the first place. And the attitude comes out in the reaction that he gave when he was corrected. The next verse shows God's reaction, God's response. Take a look at verse 6. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked. Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Control yourself. Control your desires. See, correction often brings shame or sadness. I would expect Cain would have been disappointed, right? God didn't favor his offering. And that probably would bring sadness, disappointment. He wanted to be accepted. But you don't see shame here. You don't see sadness here. You don't see a desire to correct here. What do you see? Anger. Anger. The core issue is the heart. So is Cain's pride hurt? Is that what's going on? He worshiped his way, not the way God wanted him to. But God is the one that determines what is acceptable and unacceptable. No one else. You see, we all often want to take that place. We want to make the rules. We want to decide what's good and what's not good and what we bring and how it will be accepted. But God's the one that determines that. It's up to him what's acceptable. And God here has grace. God didn't accept the original gift, but he gives Cain a chance. He says, do what's right. You will be accepted, right? Here's the chance. Just correct. Just redirect. Get your heart right. He also gives him a warning, doesn't he? Don't let this heart seep in and become the root of everything that's going on in you. Don't give in to sin and allow it to conquer you. But in all of this, Cain is not broken by his sin. Offended by the correction. He wanted to set the rules instead of following God. And so Cain he's unable to adjust his lousy worship, and instead he just doubles down in his bitter pride. Take a look at what happens next in verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, so he's plotting this out, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The rotten heart that was going on took root for good. It seeped in. Years ago, his parents had done what they felt right, and their rebellion broke the world. And right here, Cain does what feels right to him. And in bitter anger and jealousy, he ends the life of his younger brother. The person that was accepted, he gets, that's the way I'll solve the issue, right? I won't correct my worship. I'll just end the life of the person that was accepted. And the first child born on planet Earth is the killer in a worship world war. The fight over worship, the fight over what's right or what's better or what I think versus what you think. And the result of murder. And Cain didn't repent. He dug in his heels. The guy who did worship right is now the one that's eliminated, and the guy who messed up has blood on his hands. And Cain then, he tries to cover up his sin, and he tries to cover it up with a lie, and this goes back and forth with God, and there's a punishment. Check out the result of all of that in verse 16. So kind of jump forward. Verse 16. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And it's easy to kind of gloss over that, but if you think about what is worship, worship is us coming toward the presence of God, isn't it? It's us leaning into who God is and exalting him for it. But here, Cain is going east. He's going away from God's presence. He's going away from Eden. And east in biblical geography, and it kind of takes root here and it continues through the Old Testament, it's usually an analogy for walking away from God. And that's exactly what Cain is doing. Cain disqualified himself from a life of worship. And as far as we know, he never repents. He never turns back to God. What Cain did for sacrifice was not acceptable. His sacrifice didn't follow God's example, and it wasn't giving God his best. It was that God his heart. He was trying to worship in a way that made him feel comfortable, that fit into his box. But in reality, worship is all about God. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our box. It's all about God. And when he was confronted, what did he do? He became angry, and his reaction was unacceptable. So not only what he did was wrong, his reaction was wrong. And his outward anger revealed the attitude of his heart. If he was confronted and realized, you know, I did not realize how that example was set. I didn't realize that sacrifice needed to be an animal. I didn't realize, God, but I want to follow you. And so whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Let me go back and bring you an offering that fits you and fits my whole heart to you. But he doesn't do that, does he? He becomes offended at God's correction. You see, Creator God deserves worship. And in fact, worship is the only appropriate response to our Creator. It's the only response. And Cain knows that. He just wants to do it his way. And he expected God to honor his gift. Unlike Cain, Abel followed God's example of sacrifice. And he gave God the very best to honor God, to exalt God. He put God as number one. He put God first. And that is worship God's way. This rocking horse, it didn't fit in my box, did it? It didn't work. But imagine my wife's disappointment if I used a miniature substitute. So I just figured that, you know what? Horse isn't going to work. Let me get rid of the horse, and I'll get one that fits my box. Now, if she found out what I got rid of, you think she would have been happy with this? I doubt it. But it would have fit the box. It would have fit the box. Imagine her disappointment if she opened the box and found my horse I just crunched up into pieces to smash it into the box. I think she would have been pretty disappointed. And in either of these, the hours of making the horse and putting the pieces together and carving the block and sanding and finishing, all of that work would have been lost. And it would have been a broken splinter of what it was intended to be. If we force our odd-shaped Christmas gifts into a box that's the wrong size, we could ruin the gifts, right? They no longer would be what they were intended to be. But that's what Cain tried to do. He forced his gift as worship to God. He forced it into his box. It wasn't his best. It wasn't what God wanted. And his gift falls short of true worship. It no longer was what God intended worship to be. He did not worship with his whole heart. Cain was self-absorbed. And then when confronted, he revealed a heart of immaturity. And Cain fought with God, and he fought with his brother. And his brother died as a casualty of that worship war. What's the result? Cain ended up further from God, not closer. Worship was lost for him. Selfish worship remains a huge problem today, doesn't it? Worship wars are still dividing families and still dividing faith families. It still happens. And yet worship was never meant to be about us, was it? Worship's supposed to be all about God. We fight over worship because we are like Cain. We want weekly church worship to fit us. And when it doesn't, sometimes we do a silent boycott or we just complain to other people. And as you think through worship, if you find that worship and anger often go together for you, then you might have a Cain-like problem. If worship makes you frustrated, it's probably saying more about you than about the other people around you. It might be time to look at your heart. Are you only willing to worship God your way? Do you complain or ever boycott worship music that you dislike? Irregardless of the message of the song, we may find that other folks may be able to worship in a slightly different way than us. Maybe in a way that we find uncomfortable. But we need to be mature enough in our faith not to demand me first, my way is better. When I was wrapping this horse that Christmas Eve, you know, I eventually just completely gave up on the wrapping. I gave up. And I just let the horse take up the space that it needed to take, to let it be what it was. When we worship God in a way that fits our box with what we are comfortable with, we're going to miss out on true worship. But if we let it take up the space it is, let it become what it is, let it be beyond our box, we're going to find it more fulfilling. We're going to find it more God-focused and not me-focused. We're going to allow worship to be what God intended it to be. And we might just find incredible joy in exalting a great and amazing God who loves us. Because true worship, it's not about our box. It's not about our comfort. It's not about what fits us. It's all about giving our heart to God, giving our best to God, not our leftovers, but what is directed at Him and exalts His greatness. It won't always be comfortable, but it's not about us. I want to take you to one of the Psalms are expressions of worship. I want to take you to one this morning and look at it together. Psalm 100, and you can turn there in your Bibles. Psalm's kind of right in the middle of the Bible, and Psalm number 100 is what I'm going to be in, and I'll just turn there quickly as well. Psalm 100, it starts this way. Shout with the Lord, all the earth. You know what? Shouting doesn't fit all of us, does it? It doesn't fit me. If you know me, you probably found I'm a little introverted. I'm not a real boisterous type person. Shouting is not me. But you know what? Real joy is not containable. Sometimes worship can include shouting. I was at a Bills game last week. I've only been able to have been to a couple in my entire life, but I got to go see the Bills versus the Jets last week. And you know what? When there was an interception made, when the fumbles were recovered, when touchdowns were caught, that crowd shouted for joy. Shouted. It was a mighty roar that rose up out of the stadium. And I think our excitement for God should be like that sometimes. When we see what God is doing, we can get excited about it. When we talk about who he is, we can get excited about it. And an uncontainable cheering on of who God is and what he is doing, that should be natural in our worship. Now, it may not be natural for all of us, but we can join in sometimes. Goes on and says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come to before him with singing with joy. For some of us, we don't sing. Maybe it's not our natural ability. It doesn't fit in our box. That's just whether we struggle with tone or struggle with notes, or it's just not us, right? Some of us aren't singers, but even so, God calls all of us to sing out to him, regardless of what it sounds like. He calls us to sing out with gladness and joy. I'm glad he didn't say, come before him singing the perfect notes. He doesn't say that. It's not all of our ability. But you know what I found? For most of us, we connect with music on some level throughout our lives, whether it's turning on a radio. My dad said the only instrument he could ever play was the kazoo or the radio. But he loves to sing. But the thing is, we often connect with music on some level in our lives. And you know what? God just desires us to share that with him. He wants us to sing out, regardless of ability or comfort. Just share your heart in song with God. Think about the words. Think about the message. Think about the greatness of the God we serve, the God who loves us, the God who brought us salvation. As you go on in that psalm, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God, that he made us, and that we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. You see, our Creator God deserves our worship. And that worship is the only appropriate response to a holy God, because he is great. He is personal. He created us. He saved us. We're his people. He takes care of us. We're his sheep. So praise his name. Goes on and says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise his name. This morning we sung about God's presence. We have God's presence right within us, don't we? We're praising him and he's right here all around us. And yet we sung because we want to experience that. We want to see that. We want to enjoy that. We don't have to go into his gates anymore. We have him right here in our gates. Should we not praise in an even more joyful way today? And someday we're going to be in heaven. We get to go through the ultimate gate. Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to make the Bills Stadium sound quiet. We're going to be excited to praise our God. When we get to worship our great and loving, faithful God, he's exalted. He deserves that genuine, selfless worship. Every day, every hour is an opportunity to worship God, to give back to him from your heart, to show him that he is first in your life. You know, God doesn't negotiate with us. He's given us instructions. He's given us expectations on worship. And when we give our heart, we humbly follow him. Paul put it this way in Romans 12. Apparently, I missed one last verse. So we're going to read it. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation. And I was just going to read all that together. But our worship starts here, and it continues in heaven, and it's going to be amazing because of the greatness of what God has done and who he is. And Paul talks about worship. He says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." God wants you to worship him with all of your life. He doesn't negotiate. He desires all of you. He desires genuine worship. He desires worship selflessly from our hearts. So let me ask you a couple questions. Are you an Abel worshiper, or are you a Cain worshiper? During each week, are you reading God's word? Are you thankful for who he is? Are you praising him with your whole heart? You don't have to wait for Sundays to worship, right? You can wait. You can worship each and every day of the week. If you're a living sacrifice, then you are living a life of true worship. And you won't be able to keep that to yourself. You'll have to share that with other people. You'll have to speak that out loud. It won't be containable. Is God the center of your focus and your heart? Are you that Abel worshiper? Do you give God your first and your best, the best of your time, the best of your resources, the best of your talents, the best of your emotions? Or are you a Cain-type worshiper? Does God get what's left over? Does he get what fits in your box? You know, we have 168 hours in a week. And beyond rest and some other needed things, in what ways are you sharing your heart with God throughout that 168 hours? Do you start your day with prayer? Do you read his book to you? Are you singing throughout the day, whether it's silent in your head or out loud in your car? Are you thanking God for who he is and what he's done? When your faith family gathers, are you committed to being with them to worship? We're here today doing that. The early church chose the very first day of the week. They were going to give their best, their first to God, and set up their week to worship him. And we continue to make that gathering a priority. Out of that 168 hours, 1 hour we get to spend together, and it is special, and it is a time to share your heart with God. Are you preparing ahead so that your attitude is focused on God when you meet? Are you getting enough sleep on Saturday night so you're rested, so you're awake and focused and engaged? Are you giving your best energy to God? Are you willing to share your emotions, your mind, your voices, your legs, your hands? Are you willing to give him your energy? Don't just come to church. Be the church. Have a heart of worship on Sunday and on Monday and all the way through Saturday. Worship God with your whole heart. Give yourself to your Heavenly Father. See, our Creator God deserves our best in worship. Not our leftovers, not what we think we can spare, but our very best. And when we give God our all in worship, we aren't going to be concerned about what somebody else does or doesn't do. We aren't going to be concerned about how good we're singing or whether the song suits our preferences. We won't be trying to figure out the heart of the person next to us. We'll be thinking about the attitude of our own mind and heart. We'll be simply engaging with God, focusing on the truth that's being taught, lifting our heart and our voice to the God who deserves the best from us. When we humbly give God our heart, he's glorified. He's honored. And God's going to feel and experience our love. And you know what? You're going to experience overwhelming joy. When we can let go of our boxes, when we can let go of our worries about what someone else might think or what they're doing around, we just simply engage in the message and the God that we love. Let's worship our great God with the heart of Abel. Because true worshipers enjoy the acceptance of a holy God. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, God, you deserve our worship. Not something that we just point to you or speak the right words or say a prayer, but you desire our heart, our whole selves, all of us. God, help us to be people who let go of the boundaries, the things that we put in the way, and help us to just engage with who you are, to experience the greatness of your presence in our life, and to praise you for what you have done and what you're doing and the greatness of who you are. God, that starts with a decision to accept you as our Savior. Because you sent your Son for us. You loved us so much that, yes, in the garden, mankind began to sin. And forever after, we've done wrong and we were separated from you and we couldn't come back. But you sent Jesus to bring us back. And Jesus came. He bridged the gulf. He died in our place out of your love. You've done so much for us, God. May we accept that gift, that free gift of salvation. And may we just lay our life out for you. It's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy to focus on me, God. Help me to put my mind and my heart and my whole self and everything that I have and all that I am and lay it at your feet and give it to you. Help us to be your worshipers. In Jesus' name, amen.